55-gallon drum of it and whooped us bad. Have your Bibles opened up. The third chapter of the book of Nineveh. Book of Jonah. Excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The third chapter of the book of Jonah. If you got the book of Nineveh, throw that book away in a hurry. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Father, we love you, and we just ask you to just bless our word and minister to us this morning as we minister to your people. Father, we didn't come here for just to have our ears tickled or a good Sunday morning sermon. We come here to hear the word that an almighty God, the creator of the whole earth, has placed into our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, to just administer to us as we preach to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I always have to look at things this way. Okay, it's the second time the word of the Lord came to him. What did he say to him the first time? The first time he said to him, he said, go to that great city and you tell them that their wickedness, now I'm going to paraphrase here, you tell them that their wickedness has come before me, and if they don't straighten up and do right in 40 days, I'm going to destroy them. But the second time he come, he didn't give him quite as much information. He just said, you go and tell them what I tell you to tell them. Maybe I can get you there this way. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, telling him to go to Nineveh and preach unto them what he had told him to preach. Now remember, Jonah had been in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. Now some of your versions will say big fish, and that's perfectly okay because a whale is a big fish, so you know that's all right. But someone had asked one time in the past, why do we refer to it as a whale? I said, well, if Jesus called it a whale, it's a whale. And if you'll remember, Jesus said that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. So he was in the belly of this whale for 3 days and three nights. Now, God did not need to get Jonah's attention. He already had that. You spend three nights in the belly of a big fish or a whale, God's got your attention. He doesn't need to get your attention. What he wanted to do was get him back on track. How many of you ever been off track? Like myself, I've been off track. I've been so off track I didn't know where track was. And so I've been off track, and God wanted to get him, but he had his attention. He just wanted to get him back on track. He wanted to get where he is supposed to be with God. Now, I want us to look a few minutes at Jonah. Now, remember, this is the second time that God spoke to him. The first time he jumped ship, fled from God, went in the opposite direction, and was totally out of God's will. He went in the opposite direction than God had told him to go. I've been there. I don't know about you, but I've been there. God has given me specific directions, but I felt like I knew a better way. I knew a quicker way. I knew an easier way. I knew the people better than God did. So I wanted to go in a different direction, and I've been off track. I've been exactly where Jonah was, and it's easy to get there. You say, I would never get there. I would never do that. Yes, you will. You just don't realize it'll happen before you'll go in the opposite direction. The Bible says that the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and the ship was in danger of breaking up. Now, God sent this great wind, and it began to toss the ship, and it was in danger of breaking up. And every time I read this story, almost every time, I think about two things. Number one is, I always try to relate myself to whomever or whatever I'm reading about in the Bible. I want God to speak to me through his word. You know, everybody runs around looking for a word from the Lord, looking for a prophet. Get in the book. God will speak to you through his word. So I try to relate to whatever I'm reading about. And I find every time I read this story that sometimes I kind of relate to Jonah. I relate to him going in the opposite direction, being stubborn, doing my own thing. I can relate myself. Then other times I kind of relate myself to the ship. I can see everything breaking up. I can see everything falling apart. And it just seems like it's too much for me to hold together. I'm in crisis mode, and I'm just trying to hold things together. I know that sometimes it doesn't appear that way, but I'm doing everything I can just to hold things together. It's kind of like the duck going across the lake. You see the duck, he is just shoo, shoo. But if you could see underneath the water, are you with me? In other words, we don't quite see it the way it always is, but you're just trying to hold things together, and I see it sort of in danger. I see myself in danger of just breaking up and everything falling apart on me. It seems like it's just sometimes too much for me to hold together, and I feel like I'm about to break up. How many of you know it's okay to feel like you're about to break up? Just don't break up. It's okay to feel that way. Just don't do it. I felt like I was about to break up. But then I'm reminded of the word. God can always hold you together. I don't care what the circumstances is. You'll face things you didn't think you'd ever be able to face. But God will bring you through them. He will hold you together. When you can't hold yourself together, look to God. God will hold you together. We did a study years and years and years ago about laminin. Anybody remember the study on laminin? Anybody know what laminin is? Laminin is a molecule in your body. And its sole purpose is to hold you together. It's called laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Look it up. Google will tell you all about it. But it's a molecule in your body, and it's designed to hold your body together. Guess what it's shaped like? A cross. Shaped like a cross. Listen, the blood of Jesus not only will remove all the sins and wash you white as snow, but the blood of Jesus and the power of his word will hold you together when it seems like nothing else will. When you're about to fall apart and you're about to give up on everything, God will just move right in and put you back together and hold you together. And he'll lock you in with a molecule that looks just like a cross. As a matter of fact, it is the cross. It's the cross, that rugged cross that Jesus hung on for you and I. And so sometimes I feel like I'm about to just break up and fall apart. And listen, how many of you know that if you're going to hold things together, you got to make some changes? This is a new year. We're starting a new year, and we might as well realize we can't do the very same things we did all last year and expect different results. I think that's the definition of insanity. Doing the same old thing over and over and over, expecting different results. But we got to recognize, we got to do things that we got to make a change. If we're going to hold ourselves together, we're going to have to make some changes. Sometimes you're going to have to throw out some stuff. You're gonna have to throw out some stuff, and you may have to change the directions you're going in, and you may even have to change the way the people that you're running with. How many of you know you need to be careful who you let into your life? You need to be careful who you let into your life. Watch this, church. When Jonah got in that boat, the crew found out pretty quickly it could be costly to have the wrong person on board. Could cost you everything. You need to be careful who you let in your life, because they will either lift you up or they will destroy you. We always think, well, you know, it's really not. But I am who I am, and you don't have to. I don't have to worry about who I run around with or who I associate with or socialize with. But it's very important because they will influence your life.
Yes.
And here Jonah gets on board. He's just another passenger. He paid a fare and got on that ship, and he's going down to they were going to Tarshish before he got on the boat. Nothing changed with them. They were doing the same things they always did. No telling how many trips they made to Tarshish in a year's time, but they were doing what they always did. And this time, Jonah got on their boat. How many of you know everybody has a Jonah in their life? Let me just hold it right there just a minute. Everyone has a Jonah. And Jonah doesn't have to be a person. Jonah doesn't have to be a person. Jonah can be a thing. Jonah could be a situation or a circumstance. Jonah could be a feeling. Jonah can be a lot of things, but we all have a Jonah or many Jonas in our lives. We have more than one some, but we have a Jonah in our lives. And when Jonah boarded that ship going into the opposite direction to God's will, the crew became a part of what he was doing. And if you allow a Jonah into your life, you will become a part of what they're doing. And Jonah is always running from God. The Jonah in your life will never take you to God. He'll always take you away from God. Or she, or whatever it is. It'll take you away from the Word. It'll take you away from God. God did not authorize them or you to be someone's life jacket. You cannot save Jonah. You cannot change Jonah. Especially if they're running from God and they're using you to be a part of it. But with Jesus on board, you'll make it through any storm. But when you allow Jonah on board, your life is going to turn upside down. And before it's over, you'll risk losing everything. Listen, you can't fix Jonah because Jonah don't want to be fixed. You can't fix a Jonah in your life. You can't do it. No matter what you try, you'll never be able to fix a Jonah. Everything around Jonah in that ship was falling apart. It was breaking apart. There was nothing he could do to hold together. Guess what Jonah's doing? They're doing everything they can. They're throwing everything out of the boat. They're trying to hold it. They're rowing as hard as they can to get the boat back to land. They can't do that because the wind's too bad. What's Jonah doing? Sleeping. Laying up there. And the more you try to help Jonah, the more he'll sleep. You know what? We got to one day realize that we cannot fix Jonah. And the best thing we can do for a Jonah in our life is to wake him up and throw him overboard.
Amen. Amen.
Get rid of him.
Get rid of him.
Throw him overboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when the plan of God in your life and in Jonah's life and everyone else's life can begin to work. Until you get the Jonah. Hey, watch this. How many of you know that God had prepared the big fish? That's what your Bible said. God prepared the big fish. In other words, that was his purpose. He was put under the water on this earth for that purpose. God prepared that fish. That was his purpose. But he could not accomplish his purpose as long as Jonah was in the boat. Are you with me? In other words, somebody had to start obeying God. And someone had to make it happen. God made a lot of things happen in order to get Jonah in the water where the fish could swallow him. And God would be able to use him. Listen, that's the reason I'm saying. You will never be able to change Jonah until Jonah wants to change. And the only way that you're going to push Jonah into a change is to wake him up and throw him overboard. You got to get him out of there. You got to recognize your Jonah. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. And you got to wake him up and you got to throw him overboard. You got to put him in the hands of God. And God's the only one that can change him. Or her, or whatever it is. What's this? How many of you know that God's not going to be able to change anyone until they want to make a change in their life? I've heard so many people, as a matter of fact, I don't want to go into who it was, but I've heard people say, you know, talking about getting married. Well, I know that he'll change or she will change when we get married. Bull. Don't you believe that? If you believe that, I've got a bridge we'll sell you out in Arizona somewhere. Listen, we need to recognize the fact that people don't change until they are ready to change. You got to recognize God can, and you can't change them anyway. Only God can change them. And you know how God's going to change them? God's going to spark a fire in their life. God's going to put a revival in their soul. Listen, I'm believing right now, and I'm going to speak this as a word of prophecy. This church is on the threshold, on the brink of a revival. One of the greatest revivals you've ever seen. And it's going to be a revival where it's going to start with one person, and it's going to begin to spread. And when it spreads, the anointing of God is going to fall on this house and that house. And the only reason we're going to be able to accomplish the things that we're going to be able to accomplish is because we're going to affect the whole city. We've got to be able to touch more people than just what we can put in this building. Listen, this revival that started. We know that there's been great revivals in the world, and we remember the Bible revival of 1906 when Pentecost came into North America. We remember that. We remember the Toronto experience lasted for 3 years. I mean, it was back then. Some of you people don't even remember it, but oh my goodness, it was the most anointed thing I've heard of, and people were being saved, and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ. It lasted for 3 years. Every night they preached revival messages, and people were healed, and people were delivered, and it was just a good old fashioned anointed revival. And then we had the Brownsville revival. Anybody remember the over in Pensacola, the Browns River lasted 5 years. We don't hardly hear people talk about them anymore. But then we look at the Nineveh revival 3,000 years ago, and we're still preaching about it. You know, it didn't last 3 years. It didn't last 5 years. It didn't last 1 year. It didn't last 1 month. It didn't last 1 week. It didn't last 1 day. It lasted for one sermon. Yep. The only sermon that was preached in the whole revival, Jonah preached it and left and got mad at God. Worst sermon I ever preached, he said. Here, you made me get up there and tell them people that you're going to destroy them in 40 days, and you changed your mind, and all you've done is bless them ever since I preached. I hate myself. I think I want to die. I'm going to go read your book. Let me make you a tent where you won't sit out here in the hot sun, you dummy, and die from heat. Listen, church, we gotta recognize that Jonah preached this one sermon. And it's lasted for 3,000 years already. But what's this? You know why it lasted? The whole city was affected. Not just one church. We got to think bigger than the church. I don't know about you, but Susan and I were just praying this past week about revival in this church, revival in this city, revival in this. We got to think bigger than this church. I'm not after revival in this church. I want God to change this whole city and God to change this whole region. And when somebody mentions about go to church, they'll say that's where the big revival started. And it starts with one sermon, one person. How many of you know you don't need a visiting preacher to have a... You don't need a visiting preacher. Listen, preacher don't bring revival. I'm at that point to where I'm tired of the facade of church. I'm tired of doing it like we always did it. I'm tired of having one thing going one way and somebody else going another. I like to see God pour out His Spirit on the church and His sons and His daughters prophesy, and people begin to move in the Spirit, anointing with oil and seeing the great miracles of the past happen today. And it'll do it if you and I will be obedient.
Yes.
Wake up, Jonah. Yeah. We've got to be able to recognize that God wants to do something greater than he's ever done before. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. I don't need a visitor. If Jonah can have revival, and we know he did, we can tell by his prayer in the second chapter. If Jonah can have a revival in the belly of a whale, I can have a revival anywhere I am. I don't have to be in a church house. I don't have to be in a church building. I don't have to be, all I got to do is me and God. Because it's all going to happen in you. Now, you know what? You could be happy living just the way you are. And if you are, I'm not talking to you. I'm going to preach over here a while. But if you're happy with the way things are going, This message is not going to do you any good. God is looking for someone that, I don't care how great you think it is, you got to recognize with God it's better. With God it's going to be better. It's going to be much better. And we got to be able to turn those things loose that we had and let them go and wake up ourselves, throw ourselves overboard and say, God, you're going to have to take care of me. I'm just believing that sometimes you can be the Jonah in your life. I'm not preaching to y'all. Y'all all right. Sometimes you can be the Jonah in your life. Amen. You can be the very one that's holding everything back. You could be the very one. And we got to recognize, be able to see that. That's when you got to shake yourself. Wake yourself up. And nobody will throw you overboard. Jump overboard. Just jump. I just believe it. We're at this place. We're right on the brink. And so many times I've seen this over the past 45 years. I've been right on the brink of a revival, right on the threshold of revival. And if we don't respond to it, nothing's going to happen. Yeah. You know what? You've heard that the ball is in your court. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? God has already created in us a spirit of revival. I can see it by talking to people. I can see it when I hear you talking about what's going on. I hear people excited about being here. I hear people excited about what God is doing. And I hear people excited about the new things. Listen, that's nothing but revival. God's reviving your spirit. God's giving you an anointing, and he's giving you something to look forward to, and you become excited about it. Oh, listen, I wish I could just live in revival, because revival changes you. You know, you know how to judge. There's only one way to judge a revival. It's not by the number of people that attended. It's not by the prophecies that were given. It's not by the miracles that happen. It's by the number of people that are changed. When God changes you, that's when you've experienced revival. I'm looking for revival because I want to see people changed. I want to see the anointing of God fall on this church so much that people are changed, and you don't have to tell them that you're changed. They will recognize it. But, you know, some preachers were just great all their lives. Some preachers never did anything wrong. Some people never smoked dope. Well, they didn't. And some preachers never drank whiskey and beer. No. And some preachers just had a dull life. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm not one of those preachers. Amen. Because I've done the aforementioned. Yes. And when I got saved, I didn't have to tell nobody. Yeah. They knew it. Oh, listen. I'm going to tell you something. I learned a lot of lessons in the world. I can help a lot of people from what I learned in the world. But I learned a lot of things. I learned that my dog When I got home, he run up to smell me, not to see if it was me, but to see if I was drunk or not. Because if I was, he didn't know what I'd do.
Amen.
He had no earthly idea how I'm going to respond to him.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Come on. I'm not the only one who's done that. Y'all, you've been right there, just like most of us. And then let me tell you, when I got saved, he wouldn't just run up to the truck when I got home. He was all over me. I mean, he could tell there was a difference. Church, let me tell you something. When God does something, when God gets rid of the Jonah, when God starts revival in you, it's going to change you like you never dreamed. It'll take you to places spiritually you never dreamed you'd go. It's going to take you, it will make you have more than you thought you could ever have. It'll make you do things you thought you could never do. It's the spirit of revival. It's God living in you. It's not you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. Are y'all there with me? It's revival. Anybody read the book The Case for Christ? Read the book or seen the movie? I believe there's a Netflix movie out. You need to see it if you've not seen it. Lee Strobel wrote the book. He was an atheist. He wanted everybody to know it. And he wrote for the Chicago Tribune. He was one of the greatest writers that I've ever read about. He just was such a researcher. And his wife went to this church called Willow Creek Community Church. He said, "Don't go back to that church. I don't care what you do, don't go back to that church." Because there was a change in her. She was different. And he even said dumb stuff like, I've said, "I want my wife back. I want my life back the way it was." No, you don't. Listen, you really don't. I didn't leave nothing in the world that I want back. Everything I left gave me a headache.
Yes.
Caused me to do stupid stuff.
Yes.
And not remember it. Why would I want a life like that?
Amen.
So he said, don't go back. Don't go back to that church. And guess what happened? Through his research, he found Jesus Christ was really real. He said, I could believe in all this if I could believe he was really real. And he researched it and researched. I mean, months and months of research. And he found God's really real. Jesus Christ is really real. And he proved it scientifically. Listen. And once he did, he goes home and he tells his wife, "I'm a believer. I believe that stuff. It's real." Several years later, like about 12 years later, he left writing, wrote a book, left writing, and became the pastor of the church he told her not to go to anymore. Yep. He lost a member. That dummy. Yep. Listen. Listen. Here we have to realize that God wants to start a revival. And we're right there. You know what? I believe we're so close that to having a revival spirit in our house, in our church, not just in our church, but in our house and in our home, in our jobs, everywhere. If we would just learn to be obedient to God, revival will cause you to be obedient. See, when Jonah entered that ship, these people, they didn't know that their life was in danger. Just another trip. And old Jonah laying up there, snoozing away, having a great time, enjoying the ride, thinking he's out. Oh, God don't know where I am. How many of you know sometimes you got to go down before you can come up?
Yeah.
This is good. This is good. Sometimes you got to go down before you can come up. Jonah went down four times before he came up one time. Read your book. First verse, he went down to Joppa. Third verse, he went down in the ship. Third verse, he went down to the bottom of the ship. Fifth verse, he went down to the belly of the whale. Four times. Then he got puked up. How many of you know sometimes your attitude will make a fish sick? And there he was. He had to go. Sometimes God will use things in your life that you think is terrible, but he'll use them to build you up. He's using them to get you where he needs for you to be. He'll use them to make you recognize your Jonah. He'll use them to make you accept him and know that he's the only one that can help you. He's God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I really would like to see revival come in my life. You know, one thing that I've learned, and that is, if I'll take care of me, God will take care of everybody else. I could preach that, but I ain't got time. You know, if you'll worry about you, you let God worry about somebody else. I mean, you know, when you go to the Lord, I tell you, when you find out, when you can really recognize you're treading on dangerous ground. You know what that is? I've been to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to talk to you about old John. And God said, well, John's all right. He said, but I'd like to talk about you. You got to worry about you. God will take care of John. God will take care of Jonah. God will take care of anyone else. All you got to do is take care of you. That's when revival is going to start. And when revival starts, let me tell you what's going to happen. God's going to move in a way you've never seen him move in your life. Things that have haunted you for years will stop haunting you. Things that you feared for years will not bother you anymore. Listen, it's nothing but pride when you think you can do something only God can do. You cannot start revival in your spirit. Only God can do that. You know why? It's his spirit, not yours. You've got to. When we think that we can change people, that's nothing but pride. You cannot change people. Only God can do that. Old Jonah had revival for 3 days before he went and preached his first sermon. 3 days. Jonah had revival for 3 days before he got to preach that message. Listen, if you would like to, whenever you get home, you go back to the second chapter and you read the prayer that Jonah prayed to God. And you'll be able to recognize immediately he was in the midst of the greatest revival he could possibly think of. You know what I believe? I believe it. And he didn't even realize it. I believe that sometimes we're so close to revival and we don't even realize it.
Yes.
But God's about to bring revival.
Yes.
He's ready for you to have revival.
Yes.
In your spirit, and watch.
Yes.
Things change in your life. Watch.
Yes.
Your attitude change. Watch the attitude of people.
Yes.
Around you change. Because stand up. You know, Jonah was probably, in finishing this little message up, Jonah was probably the most stubborn person that I read about in that Bible. I mean, he is super stubborn. Listen. He is in the belly of a whale 3 days before he ever prayed. Now I'm just going to tell you. When the lot fell on me, before I was ever thrown in the water, I'd have been on my knees. He never prayed. You'd think, well, when he saw the big whale coming, he would have prayed. He didn't pray. When the whale swallowed him, he didn't pray. When he's sloshing around in his belly, he didn't pray until after 3 days. And then he prayed. Listen, he's a hard nut to crack. God had his hands full with him. How many of you know, we're easy compared to Jonah. I don't think there's anybody in this building that wouldn't be just like me. Man, I'm telling you, I would have cried out to God. When they dragging me, and listen, I wouldn't have said, hey, the lot's on me, throw me over. I'd say, y'all figure this out. You figure this out, and if you get it figured out, and if I got to go, drag me out there and throw me overboard. But the whole time, I'm telling you, my knees would be wore out. I'd be praying, oh, God, change their mind. God, help me. Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but God, you got to help me. I got to get through this. Now, no, I can't get through it without you. I need you, Father. I need you. I got to have you. I believe that right now, if we all would lean toward God and say, God, you're the only hope I have. And I'm going to have revival because you've already told me that. And when I have revival, I'm not going to have it without you, because you're the one that created me and created everything around me. And I'm going to have it with you. Now watch this. Their revival started, Nineveh's revival started first with fasting and prayer. David, you know, it's customary back in those days that they would cover themselves in ashes and sit in sackcloth. Cover themselves in ashes, sit on sackcloth. That's what they would do. This is what they did, and they did that to show an act of repentance. We've been through 1 week of fasting and prayer, just 1 week. You know, I see so many things that's happened that I'm right now encouraged. I need to go another week. You may not. And if you don't, that's perfectly okay. But I feel I need to go another week. I believe that if God has done what he's done in 1 week, just think what he'll do in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I believe revival doesn't have to be a protracted meeting. I believe it's what's on the inside of you. And the thing that God is going to use is how it changed you. And other people will be able to see it. Listen, church, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God, because he's never given up on you. Revival's coming. Are you going to be a part of it? You know what? I'd like to make a commitment to you this morning. Yes. Yes, I'm going to be a part of the revival. I'm going to be right in the middle of the revival. And I'm going to start, even though I may have stopped my fast and stopped my prayer time, I'm going to start it up again. And I'm going to start like today. And not a fast, but you don't have to. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to commit yourself to God. Lord, I see the change that you've made in me. I've made no changes, but I've seen the change that you've made in me. And Father, I want it to be a bigger change than I've ever seen before. And starting today, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to ask, if you want to be a part of the great revival that God's about to send to us, I want you to just move forward, not as an act of anything except for the fact, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be obedient to you, and I'm going to be a part of this revival. I want you to just come to the front. Just come to the front. Just come to the front. And it's going to start with you. 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 You, 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 me, you, you. This is where it starts right here. I'm ready for revival. Lisa, so good to see you. I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for God to send something I've never seen before. I'm looking for something different. I'm not looking for just a makeover. I'm looking for a revival. I want God to change everything around me. I want God to change every person around me. I want God to change my situation, every situation. I'm believing God to change it. I'm believing it. Look at somebody and say, revival's coming. Revival's coming. Now I want you to say, revival is now here. Revival is now here. It's in me. It's in me. Reach over and touch somebody. And I want you to begin to pray for them. Just touch somebody and begin to pray for them. Pray for them right now. Pray for them right now. Come on. Come on. This is the way revival starts. Come on. Touch them and pray for them. That's all you got to do. Touch them and pray for them. God, you know every need in their life. You know everything they're facing. You know every power of hell that's come against them, and you're God Almighty, and I trust you, and I want you to touch their finance. I want you to touch their healing and their health. I want you to touch their body, their mind, their spirit. Oh God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I just send forth revival. I send forth revival. I call it into existence, into my life, and into the life of everyone that I touch, everyone I communicate with. Oh God, give me that revival. I'm believing for it. Just start praying for one another right now all over the building. Pray for one another and believe God for revival. Revival is not only coming, it's now here. It is here, and we're going to have revival like we've never had it, and we're going to see things like we've never seen before. God, we praise you, and we thank you for it, and we give you honor, and we give you glory. You're God Almighty, and I praise you. Oh, hallelujah. You never fail me. You never fail me yet, and I know you'll never fail me no matter how long I live. I've been in situations and circumstances, and God, you've always brought me through it. And I praise you for it. And I give you honor. And I give you glory. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise. Oh, hallelujah. Shout to the Lord. Shout to him. Go ahead. It's okay. Shout to the Lord. Shout to him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Shout to him. Shout to him. Shout to him. Shout to him. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Diana and them to come up and lead us in a song of victory. And we'll go out with that song in our heart. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Praise God.